Hey there, hi there, ho there, kindness warriors. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Kindness Warriors podcast, a place where you and me and all of us get to come together for a short amount of time and just fizz each other up. We get to feel that little old sparkle of razzle dazzle in our day. We might laugh, we might cry, we might think a little bit harder about something we haven't really thought hard about in a while. Heck, we might just spend a bit of time together decompressing. Whatever it is today, whatever you need, I hope you get it here. And if you don't, I hope you find it somewhere else, because you know what? You damn well deserve it. Kindness warriors, let's go. Hey there, hi there, ho there, kindness warriors. How the heck are you? I am coming to you live from, you guessed it, my garage. Again. That's all right. I like my garage. It's a nice place. I've got all kinds of things surrounding me that make me happy. Pictures and studio equipment and boogie boards and skateboards and surfboards. All the boards. And weights for weightlifting. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's lots of wine down here too. We have gone through some of the most challenging weather here in Auckland in the last few weeks. And by challenging, I mean it has been an outright biblical time as far as flooding and water and rain goes. I know in the past episodes over summer, I have bemoaned my fate as a little sunshine-hearted Californian, because it has rained, it seems, all bloody summer here. And I know I'm gonna have to go get some vitamin D or something, because the sads have definitely kicked in. But over the last week, it's been a time not only of wild weather, but of feeling like pretty good at how far a soul can rally and grow and evolve to find the best in moments that maybe aren't the best. And by this I mean, not only has it been a harrowing time watching people deal with floods and landslides, and we've had loss of life here in Auckland too, to see the community rally around, to see local community leaders truly lead, has been something that's made my heart feel beautiful and has just made this damp and darker time feel less damp and dark. That has been really good. But one of the things I know you all know about me is my love for Elton John, and how much his music and the things he stands for, you know, equity and inclusion and helping others, how much that has played a role kind of in shaping my life. And when it comes down to it, I think Elton is the coolest cat, but really his music and the story and the ethos of him exists more in my heart and mind as an echo of times I shared with my grandma. Grandma Roma and I spent so many hours listening to Elton's vinyls on an old record player in the back room of her house in Missouri when I was growing up. And so when I think about him and his music and all of the times I've seen him, I mean, I used to call grandma after every concert. I think I've seen him 25, 26 times, which I know for a super fan is just a drop in the ocean. I might be a good fan, but I'm not. Well, I was going to say I'm not a weirdo. You know what? If you're a weirdo and you're passionate, that's cool. Embrace it. See Elton 1,000 times. That is fucking awesome. Me, I'm on 25, 26. But so Elton came back last week to make up some shows that had been canceled due to him being ill the last time he was here in early 2020. And then obviously the borders closing and the world stopping and figuring out how to handle, you know, a deadly pandemic, a virus. So he came back. Yay, Elton John. Amazing. He played a concert down in Christchurch, which by all intents and purposes, it sounds like it was amazing. And he was scheduled then to come up to Auckland to do two shows on Friday and Saturday night last week. And along with Elton also came into town my in-laws and some friends from overseas. And it was just a big old party. And it was a big old time of beautiful expectation and of, you know, imagining potentially the last time I'll see him in concert. And wouldn't you know it, I just don't think it was meant to be for Elton in Auckland this time around, or last time around, because we had the worst flooding and rain ever. Auckland was under a state of emergency Friday night, and the stage was flooded out where Elton was. The roads were basically swept away here in Auckland. So obviously his concerts didn't happen. And I had so many people reaching out and saying, oh my gosh, how are you? Are you disappointed? Oh, it's so sad. And everyone was, you know, being real super sad. And I was telling my bestie, Vanessa, I said, you know, I feel like I should be really sad. But for some reason, for all of these years between when Elton left in 2020 and to now, I never was able in my mind to get really excited about this event happening. And I think maybe somewhere deep down inside, maybe, I don't know, the stardust part of my spirit knew that something wasn't going to happen. Or maybe, just maybe, what the pandemic has taught me, a lesson that it's really embedded in me, which I didn't know was happening, was that when you go with the flow and you set down expectations and the weight of it, even when those expectations are that you are going to go see a badass concert and have a great time and make new memories, you're able to navigate change and uncertainty really quickly, and you kind of almost thrive in that uncertainty. So when the concerts were canceled, yeah, I was a little bit sad, but I was sad more for my mother-in-law and my father-in-law who'd never seen Elton and were up for the concert from Dunedin. And, you know, they were disappointed, but understood. But instead of, you know, boo-hooing and bemoaning fate, what we did instead is for two nights, we put on Elton documentaries and we watched the Dodger Stadium anniversary show. And I made homemade dinners and lots of sushi, and we drank yummy drinks, and we spent time together. And wow, the memories we made in and around the Elton John concerts might not have included 40,000 other people, but I'll tell you what, they included the right people. They included the people who were meant to be in those memories. So I wanted to say that, you know, times are a little funny, especially here in Auckland right now. So batten down the hatches, and whatever plans you had, whatever expectations you had for today or for tomorrow, you might have to put those on hold, because we're going to get some more flooding and other things going through. And I guess the next thing and the last thing I wanted to say about this part of the podcast is, holy cow, we are actually always learning lessons that we can't name in the moment. But boy, oh boy, when they sneak up and they hit you right in the heart, isn't that a lovely thing? To know that there's some excitement in putting down expectations and in embracing uncertainty. I love that. Oh, also, before we get into this, because I can't wait to get into this idea with you that we're about to broach. The Kansas City Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl, y'all. And I'm so excited. I'm going to be home in the States watching the sports ball with Vanessa and some other mates, my friend Brenda and our Nashville Fauna. So I am just like, I'm not even quietly excited. I am enthusiastically fizzing. Yay, Chiefies. Let's go. All right. Okay. There's all the happy stuff. what I wanted to do today was to take some time and read you my latest post that I wrote for my Substack. If you haven't visited the Substack yet, please do. It's CassieRoma.substack.com, and it's where I share everything from ideas and business advice and life lessons and coaching and mentorship templates that I work through day to day, where I break down lots of the bullshit we're told is truth and it's not. It's made up. So I talk about that there. And then every Sunday I share a spicy little tickle of poetry, because I feel like we can be badass business ladies and we can be multifaceted humans, and we can also have deep understanding of art and of poetry and of words and of how things move our souls. Anyhoozle bamboozle, CassieRoma.substack.com. So what I'm going to read to you today is a post that took me quite a few weeks to write. I usually like see a blank page, have an idea, and, you know, sketch a little outline in my head, and then I can fill that blank page very quickly with ideas and words and logic that I want to share. This one took a little bit longer because I had to make sure the essence of what I was putting out to the world made sense and was kind. So this is called Hug Your Haters and Other BS People Say We Should Do to Be Happier. Here we go. Well, hey there, hi there, ho there, from rain-drenched, summery-soaked, and ferociously flooded Auckland, New Zealand. This week's massive missive comes to you from the overcast heart and mind of a child of California summertime who lives for sunshine, beaches, and tan lines. The entire summer this year in the city of Sales has been a damp one. In fact, it's been so long without a clear week of sun or warmth on my skin that I'm not sure which way is up anymore. Wait, actually, scratch that. Up is the direction from which the drizzle falls. I know there's always a blue sky up above the clouds, and I'm waiting for an entire season, or a week even, where we get to stare up into the crystal clear of it. But that's not what we're here for today. While I've been indoors, I've been thinking a lot about language, how we use it, how we build houses, prisons, and wide open spaces alike, all by placing words on top of words that become ideas and ideologies and truths that then become unquestionable and unquestioned over time. If you know me, you know I live by the only truth there is in the world, and that is everything's made up. And since everything made up, why aren't we all spending more time making up modern realities that are kinder, gentler, more inclusive, and equitable, instead of holding tight to tradition? Surely we want to leave this world better for our kids. Instead of trying to impress imperfect dead folks we might not even share DNA with. From the moment we're brought squealing and naked into this world, we're told stories. We learn lessons and parables and fairy tales and ethics and religion, and they're all handed down to us from generations before, and we're spoon-fed the hopes and dreams of others and are told that these too are our hopes and dreams. If we're lucky, we march to the beat of our own drum, and we do it early. We wade through what we're told and find nuggets of truth in made-up rules, and then chase our own ideas of what happiness and fulfillment and success should look like. If we're good little rule followers, I am, it takes years or decades to realize that what's meant for others isn't made for us. Which brings me to hugging your haters and other bullshit advice from the cultural ether. Here are some of my favorite, actually, my favorite least favorite sayings that I reckon we could retire altogether. The more we interrogate the truth, the more we realize there's not much truth to anything, we can go forward. If we just hear stuff and repeat it, then our kids will do the same, and their kids will do that after them, etc., etc., etc. So, in no particular order, let's rethink and reimagine these particular sayings, as well-meaning as they may purport to be. So, of course, the first one is, hug your haters. No way. Why in the world would we spend any more time, energy, or effort on folks who aren't spending it on us? Hugging your haters leaves your arms too busy to embrace the people who love you. We got to keep those hugs free and frequent. And we have to keep them free and frequent for those who speak our name with kindness and rooms full of opportunity. The haters can take a long walk off a short plank right on into the sea. They don't need your hugs. The second one, go hard or go home. If you tell me this is the only way to work, then I'm going to just go home. I love a good challenge and love to play games as much as the next sporty soul. But if I'm going to play, I'm going to play on my terms. I'm going to play smart, play fast, play hard. Yeah. Play easy. I guess the point here is you get to play however you want. We're not here to hustle hard all of the time. We're here to hustle easy too. So it's fulfilling to work our butts off alongside like-minded souls, sure. But if you're not here to fill the world with stories and art and weirdness and energy that gives life to more good energy, then maybe you should go home and think about what you're going hard for. Never change is the next one. Never change. How often do you hear that? I hear it all the time, but how's about we flip that and reverse it? I'll keep this short and sweet and tell you what I think you should do every day. Change. Always change. Always grow. Always allow yourself to evolve. The next one, take the high road. Look, I get it. I do. Being the bigger person, whatever that means, taking things on the chin while not taking them to heart and walking away from a losing game with your pride intact all sound like the kind of sweet energy we want in our lives, but sometimes we're allowed spicy. Kindness doesn't mean being wishy-washy or allowing others to walk all over us. Maybe we should rebrand this mostly take the high road, except for the times when you've been hard done by and are hurt, angry, or just plain pissed off at being treated unfairly. When that happens, feel free to take a back road and get the hell out of Dodge. You don't even need to be nice about it. Just go. You don't always have to take the high road. The last one I want to talk about is don't compare yourself to others. Well, excuse me. The last time I checked, it's 2023 and we live in an era of algorithms and timelines and time-sucking apps and social media sites and community groups that are literally built to addict us to the rush of comparison at scale. Telling folks to do exactly the opposite of what society tells us we should be doing is a mind fuck for the ages. Well, particularly for this age. Humans have always been and will always be comparative animals. The greatest art, the most tragic stories, the biggest success stories, they've all begun in the heart of rookies, looking up to experts and MVPs and thinking, huh, that cannon will be me someday. So in a way, sometimes comparison is great because it drives us to strive to do and be better. But for a species hell-bent on keeping up with the Joneses and looking over hedgerows and peeping in on everyone else's business, perhaps the most impactful thing we could all do would be to focus more on who we are. Until then, it's also a great option to have someone to aspire to be like. As a reminder, when an algorithm and a timeline leaves you feeling like crap, log the F off. Your heart will thank you for it. Whew. Okay, there we have them. My faves, the besties. Don't hug your haters. Don't go hard or go home. Always change. Take a back road, maybe not the high road, and compare yourself to others, if it's helpful. Okay? Those cliches are some that I think we could flip around, change the narrative on. We can retire them if we want to. Remember, everything's made up, and the only life strategy that's really ever worked for me has been akin to meeting new people, doing cool things, and loving bigger than big. In the end, we can plan and plan and plan and reverse engineer someone else's ideas of success, and then we can set our sights on dizzying heights and awards and things that our egos love, but boy, oh boy, does it sting When plans change and awards get put away in dusty cardboard boxes and the dizzying heights leave us gasping for air. I reckon we need to stop. Stop chasing, stop gathering, stop getting. And we need to start. Start believing in our own paths. Start moving towards things and people and ideas and art that make our hearts beat faster. So yeah, today what I wanted to say is this. Don't hug your haters. Wish them well, flip them the bird, and keep moving forward with your one precious life. You've got this, kindness warriors. As always, thank you for listening. Go gently, stay curious, and be as brave as you need to be.
I don't want to die having lived a perfect life. Perfect is the last thing I want to be.